Good afternoon and welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio. It's Friday, May 27th. We're heading into Memorial Day weekend. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun. And the great news is that Bill is back in front of the mic next week. He and Ann recently returned from Hawaii, where they were celebrating 50 years of marriage. And it was a lot of fun watching that trip play out on Facebook. So head on over to Bill's Facebook page and take a look at some of their photos. He will be back in this seat again on Tuesday. He is live weekdays at noon, or you can catch the live stream or access all the archives at buckmastershow.com. On Friday, Bill gives a shout-out to the Buckmaster Show media partners, which include TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, Tucson Local Media, Tucson Weekly. You'll find all of those and more on his website. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Debbie Kenyon. She's the president of the Green Valley Council, and David McAllister Romo. He is the executive director of the GVC. If you have a question or comment, call us at 520-790-2040. That is the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Joining me is Dylan Smith. He's editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Welcome, Dylan.
Always great to be on.
Seems like we were just locked in this room together about a week ago. So,
still, well, Bill will come let us out.
I'm still surprised he lets us on the air together, but, you know, the man wanted the vacation. Glad we could give it to him. Debbie and David, great to see you.
Thanks for having us.
Great. The Green Valley Council is this really strange animal. We're going to get into that in a minute. I guarantee if people are not familiar with it, they'll be surprised how it's set up and that it functions so well. This said from a newspaper guy who tries to shoot holes in everything and can't, unfortunately, with GVC on occasion, but, you know. So, but really, these are what I call the salad days in Green Valley, because the snowbirds are gone, the streets are fairly empty, the grocery store lines aren't real long. Debbie, isn't this really what we live for?
Absolutely.
There he goes. People think it's January, February, March. It's not.
No.
It's
no.
The summer months. We love it.
Well, 70% of our Green Valley population are now year-round homeowners, voting homeowners.
Yeah.
So it, you know, grows a little bit more every year.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was talking about this very thing to somebody not long ago. Back in the 80s, my first job out of college was in Palm Springs, and I actually, in those, even those just couple of years I was there, we were seeing that turn into more of a year-round community, and certainly something that they wanted. And so Green Valley is kind of the same thing. We've always known that roughly a third of the population leaves in the summer, and it could be for 6 weeks or 6 months or a little bit more. Who knows? But and there are various ways to gauge that. And but it's nice to see that it's creeping up a little bit, and people are seeing the beauty of being here all year round. So, David, you came on in January, 5 months into this. What do you think of Green Valley and the Green Valley Council?
You know, I'm very happy to be here. I grew up in Santa Cruz County. I went through the Santa Cruz County school system. So, you know, I consider it a homecoming to come back to the area that I love. But no, Green Valley has been amazing. It's been amazing to be introduced into the community. One of the things that really stands out to me is just the spirit of community and the pride that people have, not only in their neighborhoods, but in Green Valley as a whole. And, you know, in addition to that, we see a tremendous level of engagement and people volunteering. You know, we just recently recognized Dick Richards, who is one of our vice presidents, for 25 years of service, and he is by far not the only one. I mean, we have so many people in Green Valley who volunteer and give extensively of their time, and that's really been amazing to see, is that pride and that passion for the Green Valley community. You know, we're very close-knit, and it's just amazing to see.
Well, and you're in a community that has about 100 HOAs, and that has got to be like herding cats at one point, because everyone is a what we call an FIP, formerly important person. And I always say Green Valley has no mayor, and it has six mayors. But if it did have a mayor, it would probably be Debbie Kenyon, because the council is really formidable. Tell us how it is set up. And again, we're unincorporated, so we don't have a mayor, we don't have a council, we don't have all these things that an incorporated town like Sahuarita has. We, our first layer of government is Pima County.
Correct.
So what is your role?
49 years ago, some very wise people decided to unify the HOAs within Green Valley and to unify them in giving them a voice with county officials, with state officials. And that has continued to grow and morph over the 49 years as HOAs were developed. We represent 80% of the HOAs in Green Valley. So over 14,000 people we have within our membership, and we serve as the civic voice. We serve as the bridge to Pima County, the bridge to the state of Arizona, the tribal governments, the federal government. We have relationships with them. We've developed those relationships. I think there were times when they were a little tenuous, and this is something that we've worked very hard on the past year and a half to make sure that we are positioning the community to move forward.
So you don't have any authority, really,
no.
But you have tons of influence.
That's a very good way to put it.
Okay,
yes.
So if you don't have taxing authority, how are you funded?
We are funded through dues from our membership. We charge a paltry $12 a year per household, per rooftop. So we get about two-thirds of our, well, actually, it's a little more than half of our money comes from the membership dues. And then we have several partnerships. We have some programs that we run that we get revenue from. We do a preferred vendor program. We have the service line warranty program that we promote. And then we have a nice contract now with Pima County. So we get a monthly payment from Pima County for facilitating their services down in the community.
And that relationship with Pima County means what? What do you owe them for supporting you?
We have 8 standing committees that we operate within the council and traffic and arroyos. We have a environmental committee, a parks committee, health and human services, a community services committee, and these interface directly with Pima County counterparts. Those departments at Pima County. So we get a message from Health and Human Services that says, what does it look like as far as housing is going down there? You know, what are the trends that you're seeing? And that committee pulls together the information, reports back, and then says, you know, this is what we need here.
So you're the eyes and ears.
Absolutely. We are the eyes and ears. Yeah.
Okay. And then, so if they've got questions, they come to you. A few years ago, there were questions about whether the Green Valley Council would even survive. It was losing this is before your time. It was losing its source of revenue. Mm-hmm. It sure looked like there for a short time, at least, that they seriously were considering closing up shop. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Well, what happened is we pursued an actual contract with Pima County. At that point, we did not have one. So 6 years ago, the contract with Pima County was pursued. You know, we actually went and laid out what we proposed, and they agreed to it. And that was a big turning point for us, but it was also just in more engagement within the community and seeing where we can pull in different sources of revenue. And with our preferred vendor program, that's a big one. We vet businesses in the community. They have to provide insurance. They have to provide certificates of insurance that we verify. And in doing that, we promote them through our website.
Is there anything else like this that you're aware of in Pima County?
Like the council, you mean?
Right.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I would say there's nothing like that in most of the
state.
I would be hard-pressed for that, too.
Yeah.
So, Dylan.
So, I'm wondering, you know, on the one hand, you're taking some significant funds from the county, mm-hmm. Trying to, you know, come to an agreement on what to do with that. There's still quite a lot of conflict in between the council and the county as a whole. You have disagreements about things and, you know, along the way. Do you feel like you run into conflicts in between, you know, basically working with them on one hand and then arguing with them on the other?
It's my job to broker. That is my job. It is my job to lead and to direct. And I believe when you do that job in a tactful way, you get what the community needs.
Because they could just cut you off.
They could just cut us off, but then they would be hard-pressed to do what Green Valley needs for the money they're paying us. They would be very hard-pressed. I mean, we save them a lot of money.
Because you're not a town, not an incorporated community, what services are still maybe not quite where they need to be that you would be looking to expand? You know, the things that you could tackle right away of your own volition if you were a town, but because you have to negotiate with basically the county for the most part, someone with the state to try and make things happen.
We negotiate with the county through data. And I think what had always happened before is it was through verbiage. And my career has been as an operations manager. And my career dictated that if we needed something, I had to have all of the data and statistics to back it up. So our committees, when we're looking at trends, we need hard data. We get data from Valley Assistance Services. Over one weekend last month, they had 297 off-hour phone calls that were about food, that were about habitat, that were about I can't pay my utilities. This is the data that we collect. Pima County was going to give us two traveling nurses. And we said, we don't need traveling nurses. We have nurses down here. We need after-hours support. We need a go-to method that our sheriff's auxiliary, if they have to go in or our deputies have to go in and remove someone from a home, that they don't have to dip into their pockets to put them in a hotel before they get them to court on a Monday. We had 1,400 meals were served through the,
Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona.
1,400 meals in 1 month were served. So there are needs that I think Pima County in some respects sees Green Valley as the rich old people, the rich retired people. Mm-hmm. Well, we're not. You know, we have a dual community in that our culture changes from November through April. Those are the people who have the two homes. Those aren't the voters. The voters live here year-round, and their needs are as real as the rest of the county, and our job is to make sure that Pima County is aware of that.
Debbie Kenyon, Green Valley Council. Is Green Valley the most densely populated part of unincorporated Pima County?
Boy, that would be hard for me to say. Okay. Densely, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, densely per square mile, probably.
Okay, that's probably why we get some attention. And then here, before we go to break, we have this interesting thing. You say you have 80 HOAs that belong, yet you receive Pima County money, so you represent all.
We represent everybody. When we reach out for educational purposes, for enhancement purposes, through our forums, our public forums. We everything that we do that is associated with Pima County is open to the entire community. However, when we do a workshop, a legal workshop, there are certain things that are members only. But okay. The vast majority of the programs that we do are open to everyone in Green Valley.
And it's actually part of, I believe it's your mission or your vision statement, that we are here to make the community better for everybody.
Absolutely.
So we are with Debbie Kenyon and David McAllister Romo of the Green Valley Council for our Friday Focus interview. And just before our break is Bill's favorite time to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, your favorite place over there, isn't it, Dylan?
It ranks highly, yes.
It does. It's a place that everyone's talking about. Mona's on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. That's home of the Danish Kringle, Mona's Danish Bakery. Open for breakfast, lunch, and indoor and patio dining, plus online orders and pickup are welcome also. Mona's, northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. And David, is the Green Valley Council powerful enough to get a Mona's down in our neck of woods?
You know, we'll certainly try. If that's what the people of Green Valley want, that's what we'll do.
Just don't ask him to predict
games. He was lousy at that.
I got out of that business. Yeah.
If you get Mona's down there, you're gold.
Okay. We'll definitely work on that one.
Okay. No, we're going to make it happen. Wow. You have a lot to learn. Okay. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolow Village studio. Our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill, who will be back in this chair on Tuesday. I'm with Debbie Kenyon and David McAllister Romo of the Green Valley Council, joined by Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. We're talking about the Green Valley Council and its role down there. It's an unincorporated community. First layer of government is Pima County, but really it's the council unofficially. David, you just came into the job in January, as I mentioned earlier. One of the reasons you said that you were interested in the job was that it put you closer to people face to face, and that you work well that way. Have you gotten out, even as the pandemic here is waning a little bit, but it's certainly not over, and Green Valley's been very, very careful about that. Have you been able to meet people and see some of the issues?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know we're still cognizant of, you know, everything going on with the pandemic, but I think that in Green Valley, we've really been trying to get back to life as normal as possible. And we try to make ourselves available. I've tried to go out in the community, I can tell you, you know, I'm invested now with a couple clubs, a couple other organizations in Green Valley, really just getting to know everybody. And really, I just like to make myself available. Anytime we have a public forum or our Board of Representatives meeting, that's one of the things that I like to tell people is, you know, we're happy to go out to your HOA and speak with your residents and, you know, or come into our office and get to know us and we get to know you. And, you know, I'm just happy to do that and look forward to doing more of that in the future.
Debbie, you mentioned Valley Assistance Services earlier, one of the most busiest groups down there.
Absolutely.
They do lots of different things. It's kind of hard to say this is the one thing they do because they do lots of things. They certainly make us aware of some of the issues going on in the community. Everyone's talking right now about inflation and how it's impacting older residents. Mm-hmm. A lot of these people are on fixed incomes. As you say, it is not a rich community for the most part. It's really diverse when it comes to money. So what are you hearing about how people are handling inflation and how are they making ends meet?
We're hearing, you know, what everybody is. The gas prices are affecting everybody. Fortunately, you know, there are a few neighborhoods where people can still be pedestrians and get to some services that they need. But certainly grocery prices are going up. You know, we hear it in our office. We hear about the gas prices. One of the things that we're hearing about more now, though, is the housing. You know, these rental units are being purchased, and then the people are being, their lease is being terminated, and there's not another place for them to go. There's a 2-year waiting list on the one housing complex in Green Valley. There were a couple that are technically in Sahuarita, but they are no longer Section 8. And it has great impact when your rent goes from $650 to $1,400 a month. So, you know, these are some heavy, heavy concerns that that Chris Erickson and her staff are dealing with every day. And we hear about it. And this is part of what we're going to be reporting out to Pima County next month. We do have a meeting scheduled with them so that we can address some of these and bring these concerns to them.
We were talking to the mayor last week, Mayor Tom Murphy of Sahuarita, and we were talking about this so-called affordable housing that's supposed to be coming into the area. It's manufactured homes. It's right around the landfill, probably 400 of them, starting in the low 200s. Does that sound affordable to you?
Not to me.
Yeah, and $500 lot rent. And so
low 200s for something where you don't even own the land on which you're...
There you go.
Your mobile home sits.
There you go. Yeah. So
you know, it's a comparison, obviously, when, you know, the average home price in Green Valley is probably selling for over $350,000.
Correct.
Same with Sahuarita, but, you know, affordable for people who are on fixed income? No, not really.
Right. And I think that would be the comeback is that, hey, it's cheaper than $350,000. And again, I'm all for diversity of housing there, but we do have a dearth of apartments. We have a dearth of really affordable homes for people to want to stay
Absolutely.
In there. So, and you're right, if you're in a rental situation and that rent goes up, you're in a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. So we are seeing some of that. Down there. COVID is not over, but during its worst times, the Green Valley Council really was instrumental in organizing and getting people vaccinated and trying to kind of, again, bring all the groups together, everything from the fire department to hospitals, and say, okay, here's our approach. The end result was that we had a very high vaccination rate in a relatively short amount of time.
That's absolutely
correct. This was tough. And I know, Debbie, you were at the forefront of this.
We were contacted by Supervisor Christie the middle of January. He had been getting an influx of calls from the community where they can go to get shots. You know, they're uncomfortable driving up to Tucson. Can we possibly get something here? He asked if we would host a Zoom meeting with the responders and principals down in Green Valley, and we did that. We came to find out very quickly that Chuck Wonder, Fire Chief Chuck Wonder, had onboard status, and he had received that the previous October, but didn't have a means. He was kind of being ignored as far as where we can have these. So we formed a 4-person task force off of that committee, and it was the chief, myself, the commander of the Sheriff's Auxiliary Volunteers and Supervisor Christie's representative. And 4 weeks later, we were giving 3,000 shots.
Where would Green Valley be without its volunteers?
Our volunteers are our lifeblood. That is what makes Green Valley unique. We are a community of volunteers.
David, I have no doubt that you get a lot of the same phone calls I do. And the frequent one right now is all that trash along Interstate 19. You getting those calls?
We get those calls every single day. people, and they're rightfully concerned. We were instructed to, address this issue moving forward, and something that the people have really been vocal about. And we had an open comment period that ran from the 26th of April and just ended on the 15th of May. We compiled that into a report, and now we're trying to get it to the powers that be to address it. But, aside from the aesthetic concerns, it's a real danger. It's a fire danger, and we've seen wildfires all around our community, all over the state of Arizona and all over the West. And people are rightfully concerned that, this improperly maintained section in our community, presents a clear and present danger for anybody who's traveling along those corridors.
But it's also a threat to a community because, again, that broken window theory of, people see trash out there, they're more than likely just going to throw theirs out there.
You're
and
absolutely
then
right.
Bad
you're absolutely
goes to worse.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It just encourages, there's nothing out there to really just kind of mitigate that issue. And yeah, you're absolutely right. If people see that, they're just going to continue doing it because they're assumed that nobody cares.
And that's not the kind of thing that you can tackle with an ad hoc group of community volunteers.
There's a nice little section in Green Valley that, they go out on, once a month.
Yeah.
Continually, but that's where it stops.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
It blows up down from the north and up from the south. And
that section's awesome.
That section is awesome.
That would be awesome. But no, you're right. I mean, this task is way, way, way more than we could ask volunteers to do.
We've been dealing with the state, for almost 2 years in trying to get something done. And all we've been hearing is, we don't know. And that's not an answer that's acceptable any longer.
So really this would involve ADOT. It would involve actually the Department of Corrections, wouldn't it?
Correct. Yeah. The ADOT relies heavily on the Arizona yes. Department of Corrections Rehabilitation and Reentry to provide the labor, so to speak, for the cleanups. Right. And they keep telling us that because of COVID, that they still do not have the available resources from Department of Corrections to actually go out there and perform the work on these much needed areas.
Years ago, as I was digging through my desk, and I've been down here 13 years now, I found a typed letter from Conrad Joyner, who our library is named for, and he is a former member of the Board of Supervisors, and it was from the 1970s, and he was answering a question that basically was, is Green Valley getting its tax dollars worth? And he went through this whole formula, and it was very interesting, and he concluded, yes, you are. We're getting what's due to us. Debbie, just shot in the dark, are we getting what's due? Are we paying more taxes than we're getting in services?
Well, that's a really loaded question. And it's a loaded question in a couple ways. One, as a community of volunteers, what I can state is that we are very fortunate in Green Valley to have a substation, a Pima County Sheriff's substation. But they exist also with the support of a 120-person volunteer force. That 120-person volunteer force saves Pima County $1.2 million in services every year, $1.2 million. They don't take a dime from Pima County. They buy their own vehicles. They have their own building. They pay their own taxes. They are totally self-sustaining off donations from the community. So what might have been true in 1970, I'd have to probably dig a little deeper. We have a nice library, but we no longer have a visiting nurse.
Mm-hmm.
So in one respect, I don't know if the services balance out, but we are happy to assist Pima County in providing those services.
Well, Steve Christie is the supervisor representing that area.
Correct.
I will say that, and he has Tom Berezny on the ground.
Correct.
And I will say that I certainly do not feel overlooked by the supervisor's office.
Absolutely not.
No, we are
one phone call away from talking with the supervisor.
Yep. And Ray Carroll before him, also very attentive, who now is the Justice of the Peace down there. So we're getting that. Steve is on the losing end of a lot of lopsided votes. But when it comes to Green Valley specific, it seems like we're being listened to and basically getting what we need. Is that fair?
I think so. You know, we lobbied for the restoration of some of the parkland that we have. You know, we have 5,000 acres of county park. They're gorgeous. The restoration is happening now at the Manning Senior House at Historic Canoa Ranch. 17,000 people came to the ranch last month. So, you know, the county is doing its due diligence by us in our recreational opportunities. You know, we're looking for more. You know, we're looking in other areas that, you know, perhaps we could get a little bit more. But all in all, when we ask them for something, when we show them what we need, I think the county and Supervisor Christie are extremely responsive.
Okay, Dylan Smith.
When it comes to taxes and getting your money's worth, the issue is not so much the county. Because Green Valley is not incorporated, mm-hmm. you don't get the kind of state-shared revenue that you would get if you were a town or a city. Mm-hmm. You know, all the taxes that go to the state, only a small percentage of that actually comes back.
Right.
That goes to, you know, mostly towns and cities, and mostly towns and cities in Maricopa County, of course.
Mm-hmm. You're correct, absolutely.
We'll hit the whole idea of incorporation next time, because Green Valley has tried it four times, went down in flames four times.
It seems unlikely.
It does. But, you know, with the council there, you kind of feel like you're being, you know, someone's got your back.
Well, so. There are... The questions that we get aren't, should we incorporate? It's, is anyone asking you about incorporation? And our answer is no.
Okay. Well, that's
no,
that's
no one is.
So, okay. Our thanks to Debbie Kenyon, president of the Green Valley Council, and David McAllister Romo, executive director of the GVC. And David, what is the website if people want to learn more?
GVCouncil.org.
GVCouncil.org.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I appreciate the update. It's always great to visit with you. We could probably go a lot longer if we had time. So thank you for coming on up. And remind everybody, this is the Buckmaster Show. We are broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolow Village Studio, and you're always invited to join us on the live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. When we return, I will launch into the Friday Roundtable with Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. We have a lot to talk about. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our Friday roundtable. We have Dylan Smith. He's editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, any follow-up to the Green Valley Council? I know this is like a foreign entity to you, given that you are in Tucson. But what an interesting idea. It's been around, as Debbie said, for almost 50 years, and it's basically just kind of protecting ourselves.
It's, you know, a very interesting exercise in, you know, people self-organizing and, taking care of business, basically. There are probably a few things that don't get done that could be done more effectively and perhaps more expensively if Green Valley was a town. But because the residents of Green Valley show up at the polls on a regular basis, they get the attention that I guess deserve is the right word. Everyone deserves attention and care from the government, but people who don't vote don't get it.
Yeah, and I don't know that Green Valley cares so much. I'm sure the county does, but that parts of it is has been annexed by Sarita, and more will be. A lot of people don't realize that much of Sarita has a Green Valley mailing address, and therefore, like Quail Creek is in the town of Sarita.
Where I'll be tomorrow.
Yeah, Animal. Yeah, that's right. We're going to talk about that. Yeah. Animal League of Green Valley is in Sarita. The Jim Click Automotive is in Sarita. There's a lot of these entities. La Posada is in Sarita now, just annexed about 4 years ago. So that's a concern. I think, you know, for your average person, they don't care. Just are the services here,
yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to. But they do a tremendous job down there. And like I said, I've been trying to poke holes in them, and we haven't crossed swords too much, but they're just well run. They're really good. They do.
Well, it's
good
great
work.
To see so many people who are residents willing, able, eager to volunteer and play a role in how things work.
Well, it's interesting to see people think retirement, and they think, you know, golf and vacations and this and that. For some people, retirement is to actually go serve on boards. Unfortunately, I'll probably be one of those people. I'm hoping to talk myself out of it, but I like that stuff. And
you're going to be on four boards.
I cannot even imagine going and playing a round of golf, but maybe I'll figure out something else. But I'm glad for those people because someone needs to be doing that, and can't pay them all. So you mentioned that you're going to be slumming it a little bit on Saturday, and you're going to be down in our area. What are you doing?
I'm going to be moderating a debate between the Democratic primary candidates for Arizona Secretary of State. Reginald Boulding and Adrian Fontes will be on stage with me at the Madera Clubhouse, they call it, at Quail Creek.
Correct.
Tomorrow afternoon, doors open at 2, things get rolling at 3, and we're going to try and have a good, spirited, smart discussion about all of the issues that surround the Secretary of State, which is kind of one of those usually quiet offices in state government, although with everything, all the tumult and misinformation and lies floating around about elections, we've heard a whole lot more about what the Secretary of State does. And I want to dig into how these guys think they're going to approach this job, and are they the best person?
It's in person, and it's open to the public.
Indeed.
Okay, so head on out there. We have an
hope
event.
To see you.
I hope to get there. We have our own another event down there. Let's give the Republicans some airtime too. This is their name for it. It's not Dan's. So this is the United Republicans for Arizona, which is really the Republican club in mm-hmm. Green Valley. It is a candidate open mic kegger event. So liquor up a bunch of politicians, hand them a microphone. I think we call that Congress.
That sounds like my kind of event, though.
I mean, I will expect you there then. I'll go to yours and you can come to the one for the Republicans.
When is this?
This is going to be June 4th. This is from 4 to 7 p.m. at their headquarters, which is in Continental Shopping Plaza. And I will tell you, I have seen the list of candidates who've signed up, and I would say there's probably 25. We're talking every race that you can imagine.
So we're going to hear like 90 seconds from each of them?
Well, I don't know how they're going to do this, but I know the mic will be passed around and along with plenty of beer. So, of course, I'm going to be there. Not that I drink, but I have a pen and I write everything down. because I can only imagine it's going to be very interesting. But a mic kegger event, that's the United Republicans for Arizona. They're going to be down there. But again, it is mostly what they're going to be doing, of course, is just walking around and meeting people. So if you are bent that way, or if you're not and you have questions for these people, this is a great opportunity just to sit and talk with them, because that's what they want to do, is meet the people. So that is June 4th. I should mention that you get a hot dog, chips, beer, and water, and it costs you $10. If you're a candidate, it's free.
Maybe that's not a terrible deal.
I guess it just depends. I don't know if media has to pay. Of course we pay anyway, because we don't want to get that get any freebies here. So we had some news this week on Rosemont Mine / Copper World. Rosemont is on the east side of the Santa Rita's. Copper World, their new project for HUD Bay, is on the west side. What do we know about it?
This was kind of a behind-the-scenes, development in one of the many, many, tangled legal cases that are going on over Rosemont and Copper World. And basically, a judge tossed out a lawsuit, or someone trying to join a lawsuit, but trying to block both of the projects over the way that the water permit for Rosemont was issued. And HUD Bay basically gave up that permit. They said, yeah, we're not going to use this. And because of that, the entire legal grounds for these motions were mooted by the judge. He said, well, you can't sue over a permit that they're not going to use and say they don't want anymore, and tossed back at the government.
So there's nothing to make a decision on.
Right.
That's what the judge was saying.
So I'm sure there will be, further lawsuits, further legal developments. This is not the end of any of that kind of thing. But this was one of the attempts by a coalition of environmental groups and tribes in the area to make the Copper World portion not happen because of something to do with Rosemont. Didn't quite fly because HUD Bay's pretty much at this point put Rosemont on hold because of all the problems they've had with that, especially the decision a couple of weeks ago with the Ninth Circuit basically saying, no, you're not going to build this.
Right, and they've also put it on hold because Copper World is much more lucrative than they anticipated. It is much the ore is much closer to the surface. It's going to be a lot easier to mine. It's going to mean 7 deposits and 5 holes in the ground on the
they'll
western.
They'll be able to get at it much more quickly.
Yeah.
Start producing copper. Barring any legal obstacles, the logistical part of that mine will be in operation much faster.
And that shot to the top of their priority list pretty quick when all the data came in and they said, yeah, this is where the money is, and that's what mining companies do. And then, of course, they snapped up a bunch of land, and so they won't have to worry about putting the tailings on public lands, mm-hmm. which is kind of the issue over in Rosemont. So you had a really interesting story about Jim Nintzel. He is a longtime editor and reporter and everything else with Tucson Weekly, which is an alternative newspaper. Our company owned it for a short time, Wick Communications. It's been years since we did. But the story was not only about Jim retiring, leaving the Post, but also about kind of the history of Tucson Weekly, which at one point was really a strong force in this community.
It's he's not only leaving as the editor of the Tucson Weekly, he's leaving as the editor of Inside Tucson Business, the Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, probably a couple of publications that I don't remember the titles of right now. He's been with the Weekly for 33 years.
Right.
Started, basically right out of college. This is almost the only job he's ever had, was being a journalist for the Tucson Weekly, and now for the past 5 years or so, also running all these other publications that are under the same ownership. And what's going to happen with the Weekly is kind of the open question. Will it, retain anything of the force that it has had? Will any of these other publications? They've been cut and cut and cut over and over and over again. And now we're seeing not just Jim Ninsa leaving, but two other staffers out of a total of six.
Right. And I think
people who've been running six newspapers, and half of them are leaving.
Exactly. I think it's a really good point to bring up, that we've had good people in those roles, but it's the cuts that have really sidelined the Tucson Weekly, quite honestly.
It makes it into an impossible job.
Right. It is an impossible job. All those jobs you mentioned earlier were done by separate people in the past, and now you had them all under one person. And I like Mari Herrera. She was quoted in that story, and she said, you know, when you take one story and you spread it out among several publications, it each publication's kind of lose their individual identity, yeah. And that was a great point.
And Mari Herrera's worked for the Weekly for about 10 years full-time, and at the end, she was an editor there, and she resigned because basically she didn't like the way things were going, and that was, five-some years ago.
And so in its heyday, describe what you would find in the Tucson Weekly.
Really sharp, incisive coverage of Tucson's local culture, music. Still there are, people doing that, but it's just, not as extensive as it once was. What Jim really fostered there in his own work was their coverage of politics. Local government really digging into things, finding people doing things they were not supposed to be doing, and making grand fun of them in the skinny column, along with Emil Franzi, mm-hmm. Chris Liberis, Tim Vanderpool, so many other great journalists who wrote for that. That hasn't been what it was for quite some time, basically just because no one there has time to do that work right now.
Okay, that is going to wrap up our Friday roundtable. Thank you to Dylan Smith, and you can follow his good work at TucsonSentinel.com. We're going to be right back on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village studio with Dan Gibson to help you plan your weekend. Don't forget, our live line is made possible by the professionals over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in a minute.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the Golden Standard for Cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
It is time for the Weekend Watch, a great way to plan your Memorial Day weekend. We're presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They're just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's so much to do in Silver City and Grant County. You can go hike the Gila National Wilderness, visit the world-famous cliff dwellings, so much more. Find out about it at southwestnewmexico.org. So much more going on. Dan Gibson is on the line. Dan, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Is this the Buckmaster Live Line? Is that happening right now? Brought to you by
Rincon Ventures. Yes.
Great. Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
and Dan's in a new job, but they let you do this. Apparently, you're still plugged in with the food and drink scene here.
No one told me not to. Okay. So it's imminent. It's probably coming around right on the corner. They're like, if you could stop.
I hope you never stop. We need you.
No one has ever said that, either of those things.
I'm glad to hear.
It's always the first time.
Well, you're doing a great job over there at Tucson Medical Center, and I look forward to interacting with you in the future because they have got some stuff going down in Green Valley. So we'll talk about that later. But, boy, we have a long Memorial Day weekend. How are we going to help people fill up those hours?
Well, you know, let's say you're out there tonight looking for something to do. Why not head to Mercado San Agustin, their annex at 267 South Avenida de Convento, just west of downtown. They're having a summer market. It's the last Friday night of the month, so they do this all summer long. There's food, there's drinks, courtesy of Westbound. You can stop at one of their existing restaurants, but they also have some food trucks as well. A lot of the vendors that are in the Mercado and ones from all around town. Set up, and there's crafts and vintage stuff, and you know, it's a good time all around, and you get to be outside at really a great time of year.
Right, that's a great place. And you know what, we find that a lot of people in Green Valley go up there. It's really accessible, just right off there on the interstate. San Agustin is a great place.
Very simple if you're heading on the I-19 corridor, by all means.
We like simple. What else we have?
That's what I hear. If you're looking for something a little more family oriented, may I recommend this Saturday night? It's the beginning of summer safari nights at the Reed Park Zoo. Cooler temperatures, and so they have you can get dinner there at the Zoofari Market. There's music there. There's a train that runs around the zoo. There's also games and themes. Tucson Medical Center will actually be there doing some education about child safety during the summer. All around good time. Spend a couple hours out in the center of the city. Less convenient for people coming from the Suarita Green Valley corridor, but still manageable. You just get off on aviation, you'll be right there.
Yeah, but if it has kids, we're just not showing up. Do they have maybe a no kids night at the zoo?
Yeah. I should have provided a solid
child free
to fit the theme.
Okay, no, that's good. We know the world is made of all sorts of people, not just us who don't want to be around kids. So, what else do you have for us?
Well, you know, seasons change, as they say, the classic expose song. So, some Tucson restaurants are coming to the end in their current form or entirely. 1702, which is a great pizza place right by the University of Arizona on Speedway, and really one of the first places to do a really great job with craft beer in Tucson. Tonight is their last night, so if you have fond memories of 1702, head over there. 1055, which is downtown, is moving, but if you are a fan of their downtown space, they are wrapping up their business downtown on the 29th, so this is the last weekend for that. So if you appreciate these things, check them out. You know, say goodbye to your friends who have been hanging out there.
Okay, thank you, Dan Gibson. We can now fill our Memorial Day weekend. We really appreciate that, and as always, for your good work and your hard work. So, thanks.
My pleasure. Talk to you later, Dave.
Very good. Hey, this is a good time to remind you the Buckmaster Radio Program is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is responsible for the content of the program. Our thanks to longtime Buckmaster assistant Rosemary Brandt, producer engineers John Couch and Tom Fairbanks, and the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson. Bill will be back on Tuesday.